news at this time, Commissioner? Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut.
Bazinga. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Arkham Case Files, where the inmates run the asylum. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jason.
And I'm Ian.
And this week, we're talking about everyone's favourite Batman characters, Sheldon and his cronies from The Big Bang Theory, which completely took us all by surprise, I think, when they were announced.
That's an understatement.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's all praise our overlords who can't die.
Can't kill him off. I swear, though, ever since this announcement, I've seen more Big Bang Theory just, like, on the TV. Like, I'll be at the gym or whatever. I'm like, why is the Big Bang Theory on? It's been just weird.
So, in case you actually missed the announcement that seems to have got more replies than anything else Knight have ever done, they put a post out which just said Bazinga, which was Sheldon's catchphrase from the show. And a few days later, we all thought, no, it's a bit of a joke. A full Big Bang Theory box arrived with them in their Justice League costumes from one particular episode set at a New Year's party, I believe.
I thought it was a comic. I don't know. I've never watched it. I just assumed. They're all nerds.
Yeah.
They would do that.
Yeah, so they cosplay because they're geeks, and obviously geeks cosplay. So
obviously, we're not cool people.
We've now got them for the game. Mm-hmm. So, as we do for each of the new crews, teams, we're going to have a look at the objectives and the plots. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about the TTS League that Jason's been running. And you're just going to give us an update on that?
Yep. And then after Big Bang Theory, we got to talk about the true hotness of the release. Counterman. And the Condiment King.
Absolutely.
Like, if you don't even care, just skip past Big Bang Theory. Let's get to them. We'll just talk about them like five times in a row. Perfect.
So what I'll do is I'll put a link in the description to say exactly where they come in. If you want to skip straight to them, if you really, really don't want to hear about the Big Bang Theory. But, you know, we're professionals. We're going to be thorough. We're going to talk about them completely impartially.
Yes.
A little bit impartially, after I've had a very short rant. And again, I'll put a link in if you want to avoid this, and we will return to your normal scheduled programming. When Knight made this announcement, they, I think, got one of the most violent reactions from the community that we've ever seen across Facebook, Discord, and the other groups. And there were a fair few people that were like, this is it. We're done between the issues that we've got with getting the product and replacement parts. And I wrote quite a lengthy post, which I didn't expect any reply to, and I didn't get any direct reply to, basically asking Knight, you know, we want to support your game. We do it for the love of the game. We think you've got a great product, but, you know, help us out here. And since then, I've got to say, the feedback I've got and that I've seen in terms of the issues around parts and getting product out and just general responsiveness has been really, really positive. And I've been really, really pleased by that. I mean, I know my brother, for example, has been waiting for about 7 months for some parts from Back to Gotham Box. And within 2 weeks of sending an email to the new address, we didn't get any notification that they were going to arrive. They just dropped through the letterbox. So, you know, there's still not communication there. Well, we've got all the parts. In fact, we've got enough parts now that he's managed to give me a second Deadshot that he got. So I'm never going to argue with, you know, free models.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people on the Discord also report their stuff showing up and all appears well with Knight. So it's not just a Darren situation.
I think it was that their person that was the parts, like, replacement person that was getting all these emails just completely ignored them. Like, I don't know if that was a person that was outside the company or maybe a person who left the company or what happened, but like it seems now they are actually replying to emails, or at least taking those emails. They'll say something like received, and then you'll get your package in like two to three weeks. Because I got one to a secret email address that was shared with me, and even that one took about 2 months for me to get the part. But I mean, it happened right after all these other people got theirs too. So it's like, it seems like they're starting to bring that back up, which is good.
Yeah. And one thing I've got to say with the Big Bang Theory is there's, we've heard rumors about why the crew has been released, you know, that it came from Warner Brothers, who hold the license to Batman, and they've kind of pushed them to release it. I saw a lot of reaction on the groups, and again on their Facebook, where people were saying, oh, it's, we want the grim gothic darkness of Gotham, and this is just ruining it for us, and why are we getting the Big Bang Theory? This is a game where I've been able to put Mahoney from Police Academy up against Johnny Five from Short Circuit with Storm Shadow from G.I. Joe on the opposing crew. So, you know, not all the time is everything taken really, really seriously, and I seem to remember Batman himself guest starring in at least one episode of Scooby-Doo. So I think we need to just take a step back at times. And although we might not like Big Bang itself, we can't take it too seriously, because, again, it is a game about pushing toy soldiers around a table. It's not, you know, life and death. So I get people are invested in the game. I get people are invested in the IP and what they think about it. But I think sometimes it's worth taking a minute to just think about it beyond that. But that aside, that was my minor rant over.
Oh, actually, I want to sprinkle a little more into that. There has been actually some people that were positive about the Big Bang Theory. I'd imagine more of those people were not quite in the loop of night models in the Batman game.
Yeah.
So, like, to be forced into something, like, obviously a lot... No, I'm negative on it, just putting it out there. But, like, I don't have to purchase it. Whatever. I don't have to spend my money. Fine with me. But a lot of the negative comments, I'm sure, are the same people on like the Discord to the Facebook. And there are going to be some people that are like, oh, I love that show. Those models look awesome straight from the show. I can give this game a try. And who knows? Maybe then they like play a real Batmaker. No, Big Bang Theory, I've had. But like, you know, it might actually get people into the game. I wish, though, because it's totally not relevant at all. Like, Big Bang Theory stopped airing or just reruns now. And I kind of just wish they'd made a Scooby-Doo box instead, because that's still sort of relevant. And Batman was actually just in it. You could just be like, it's modern age Batman, Robin, and then like the main gang. Would have loved that a lot more. But, you know, I'm sure there's something.
I would buy that box.
Yeah, I probably would too. It'd be cool.
How do I want to say it? I think it's a good box, because I'm a member of a lot of other like gaming communities, and like the amount of other gaming communities that posted this image and people that talked about like, yeah, there was like 20 people went into my store and like pre-ordered it and like tried to get a hold of it because of X, Y, or Z. And I mean, like those, I even if one of those 20 people actually play the game, I mean, that's great. And I mean, yeah, those other 19 might not, but guess what? They put money over to Night Models, and Night Models will then eventually reinvest that money into hopefully other stuff that we do like. And yeah. I'm hoping and praying we start seeing some of these other crews. I mean, we've seen some Two-Face models presented to you on the Facebook that look sweet and remind me of Peaky Blinders, and I'm very excited.
For sure. And then with the new Night game, which is a separate team, if you're unaware. Oh, I feel like that's most of us knew that by now. That's just more revenue Night should get. So hopefully they're able to keep their heads afloat and keep with the same, if not more, productivity.
I'm not going to comment on that.
I'm not either. But like that's what we're told, I guess. Take that however you will.
I've watched the Kickstarter. It's surprisingly not doing well.
Wow.
We'll see.
We'll have to see and see what happens in terms of the results of that, you know, because there's a few things that we're waiting for results on at the moment. But in other news, I think I generally feel more positive than I did a couple of months ago about Knight and the responsiveness. So yeah, I'm pleased with the way the game seems to be heading. But that aside, we will now continue your regular scheduled programming and talk about the Big Bang Theory cards.
All right.
So
you want to take this one away in, or you want me to?
Did you want to start with their special card that they get? So, because it does relate to the objective deck itself, and kind of how it plays.
Sure. So they do the special.
Yeah, so it's a special card. It's just, it's kind of the same thing that we saw with birds and who else had one? Is it just birds? Where they
Riddler,
have it?
I guess, kind
Owen Riddler. Kind of there we go. So each time you score an objective card, after you draw a new card, draw one additional objective card and place it face down without looking at it. Only one card can be played and can be in play in this manner at a time. You may play this card as a resource following the usual rules without paying the cost. If the resource cannot be played when you choose to play it, its effect is ignored. So basically, you're going to be going through your deck extremely fast with Big Bang Theory. You should be... Yep. You should be using resources every activation, if not multiple. Well, you can't play multiple resources at once.
You can't.
But you should be playing that face down as soon as you can.
Actually, put a pin in that. Isn't there a card that's like play another resource card or some shit like that, or a rule? They have some more rules about playing resource cards.
Yeah, they do. I think more their the actual models do.
Gotcha. That's what I'm probably thinking about. So with that, you want me to go into the objective cards then?
Sure. We can go.
Alrighty. Starting with their cards. We'll start with the... Yeah, this is just normal cards. Alright, so first one up is Sweet Kitty, which I'm assuming all of these are references to the show.
Yes.
That's all over my head, but like, I don't care. So it's 2 victory points.
So
wait, Darren, you actually know this one?
Yes.
Yeah, basically, whenever Sheldon is sick, he gets his mum to sing a song to him, which is Sweet Kitty, and there's... If you get it wrong singing it, he gets really anal. You've got to sing it in a precise way. So it's all to do with Sheldon feeling ill.
Okay. All right. It's 2 victory points. You have 3 in the deck. It's a control. You play it in phase 1, and it scores at the end of the round. Place an event marker up to 4 inches from the enemy boss. You have a suspect in contact with that event marker. Easy peasy, really. I guess the only way to counter this would just be the enemy moves the event marker from hacking or any other rules to do so. And then the resource is 2 points. Remove all stun markers from one of your models. That's cool.
Yeah.
And it's not the active model. It's just one of your models. So very cool. All right. So the next one is Come On Short Round. It's 2 victory points, 3 in the deck. Protection, played in phase 3, scored immediately. One of your models is within 4 inches of an enemy suspect, but not within 8 inches of an enemy model. It could happen.
Yeah.
Definitely could happen. Not bad at all. And then the resource, 2 points. Move one of your models up to 6 inches.
And so if I'm reading this correctly, it's one of your models is within 4 inches of an enemy suspect, but your model is also not within 8 inches of an enemy model.
Correct.
Okay. I'm just making sure that suspect doesn't have to be within 8 inches. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, just the model. It actually seems pretty easy.
Yeah.
Now I think about it. There's definitely times where suspects just move forward and whatnot.
Yeah. And I think they have ways to move suspects and all this other stuff. So. So I can get the next one. We have
Go for it.
Kite's Ho. 2 points and 3 in the deck. This is I'm terrible at these. It's not Menace. What's the other one?
Sense Control.
Control. There we go. Played in phase 3 and then has a special way to score. Play this card when an enemy model places a suspect marker. Roll 1d3 plus 2. If the result is merit counter, you must place on a friendly model's character card. at the end of each model's activation after the current one, reduce the value of the merit counter by -1. When the merit counter reaches 0, if this model is not KO or removed as a casualty, score this objective. Sounds like Joker's card. And then for one resource, you get perform a free ranged attack from one of your friendly suspects. The attack has a rate of fire, firearm short range, and deals blood stun.
So that's the same one as the Batman one for secure the perimeter, except for you don't remove the suspect.
Right.
Also, I'm trying to reread the objective thing again. You want your models to live, but they can never die, right?
Yeah, but they still get removed and they get replaced. That's my way of reading it. Okay. So they cannot be KO'd or removed as a casualty. They're still removed as a casualty, which triggers everything else that goes with that. And then they come back. At least that's how I read them.
Yep. All right, I can get the next one. Robot fight. It's 3 victory points. There's 3 in the deck. It's a protection. Played in phase 3. Scored as a text. When a friendly model places a suspect marker, you may change it to a killer robot marker. It is still a suspect marker. Roll 1d6 and place a numeric counter on the killer robot with a value equal to the roll. At the end of every model's activation, after the current one, reduce the value of the numeric counter by -1. Then roll 1d6 and move all killer robot markers that distance directly towards the active model. When the numeric counter reaches 0 or this marker is revealed, center the explosion template on the marker. If any suspect markers are under the template, score this card. So, seems pretty good to me. You're just trying to blow up, like, cover other suspect markers. And it's any, so not even enemies. Then the resource is 2 resource points. Place a friendly suspect marker within 4 inches of one of your models. So,
this is actually a really cool, because it says move all killer robots. So do you move it 3 different times? Do you roll 3 different 1d6s if you have all 3 of them out?
I think so.
That sounds amazing. I would love if somebody actually makes some really cool tokens and make like killer robots with it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys had it in the States, but we had a program called Robot Wars, which basically had like the fighting robots. I don't know what it was called in the States.
I think it was BattleBots, because we had that, and also a few. Me being a younger kid in school, you got the robotics where they basically do that stuff.
Yeah, I did all. They had all those, and then there's like a new one out of Russia that has like life size like shooting robots that shoot lasers at each other. But like testing out like pre like Gundam kind of stuff.
I could just see some amazing markers being built for this one.
I hope. If you're going to play this team, please go all in.
I agree. Please.
I don't think you should be able to have killer robots on a blank base. You need to go all the way. All right. So the next one is Eureka. It's 2 victory points, 3 in the deck. Reveal an enemy suspect within 6 inches of 2 of your suspects. Pretty easy to do. Yep. And then the resource is 0. You gain a resource point. Yep. Also really cool. Especially since a lot of these are 2 or 1s. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So the next one is... Why did I get this one? Zanark. You know what? It's...
The Zarnecki incursion.
Right, Darren saved me there. It's 3 victory points, 1 in the deck. It's a violence. Inflict a casualty or a KO with a model with a scientific trait. Switch it's like at least half your crew. I think.
1, 2.
I'm hoping 4 of the 6 of them have scientific.
I think so. I think it's everyone but Penny and Zach, right?
No, of the 2 henchmen don't have it too.
Okay.
Howard doesn't have it.
Howard might not because he's an engineer.
Engineer, not scientific.
Gotcha.
So 3, basically half the crew has it.
Yep, half the crew has this trait.
I don't know. They're going to knock people out.
You try, man. You try. You get them the effort a lot. You just start punching them. Or, like, honestly, it's more just, like, someone else does the work and then they finish them off.
Yeah.
Just no one has a rest or cruel or anything like that. I don't know. Anyway, the resource point's 1 point. Choose an enemy model. That enemy model gains slow four. Or the slow four counter.
Yeah.
Movement penalty, which is a pretty good resource, I think.
I think so, yeah. So the next one is Quantum Vortex. It's 2 victory points, 1 in the deck. It's going to be a protection, played in phase 3 and has a special way to score. Send on an explosive template on a friendly suspect, remove the suspect, and roll 1d3. The result is the number of inches, all suspects within 8 inches must be pushed directly towards the center of the template. Any suspect that finishes in contact with the template is removed. If you remove one or more suspects with this card, score this card. That's pretty cool. And then choose an enemy model. That enemy model gains the speed.
The slow four. Literally the same resource.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So I don't think you actually... Oh, no. Yeah, you do remove the suspect. Okay. So you remove your suspect, and then all...
It's friendly or enemy suspect markers that touch it, so you can set it yourself.
So, I mean, it's anything that touches the explosive template. Yeah. That ain't bad. That should not be hard at all, especially how suspects come down.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Now, the next one, which I think this one might be the most ridiculous resource. It's Logic. It's 2 victory points, 2 in the deck. Control, played in phase 1, square the other end. You have more models in play than enemy suspects. You're going to have 6 models in at all times, so just make sure they have less than 6 suspects.
Yeah.
But the resource is 1 point. Remove up to 3 friendly or enemy suspects in any combination within 6 inches of one of your models. For each marker you remove, your opponent does the same. For each marker you removed in this way, choose an enemy model to gain Enervating 2. For each marker your opponent removed in this way, they may choose one of your models to gain Enervating 2. No model may be chosen to gain Enervating 2 more than once per time you play this card. So now I don't care if I get Enervating 2 because my guys can't die. So who cares if they're going to kill me? So I'm just going to remove 3 of their markers. And then they'll remove 3 of mine. And then we'll just all be Enervating 2. It just seems like really strong just to be like getting rid of like 6 markers.
Yeah, you got to do a bit of positional because all 3 have to be within 6 inches of one of your models. You know, if it was multiple of your models, it would be stronger. But it's another one that's just got a wall of text in there to just throw out a load of Enervating, basically.
All right, Ian, you get the last of the generic card.
Where is it at? There it is. It's 3 victory points. Oh, what is it called? Sorry. Time Travel Machine. Okay. It's 3 victory points, 1 in the deck. It's going to be a control objective, played in phase 3, scored at the end of the round? No.
Scored instantly.
There we go. Reveal a suspect marker that is more than 10 inches away from any of your suspects. Any other suspects. That's pretty easy. And then the resource is 2 resources. Place an event marker in one of your model's current position. Then place that model in contact with a friendly suspect anywhere on the board. When the model's activation ends, place it on top of the event marker. Then remove the event marker. You're going to teleport around the board.
Yep.
That's amazing.
All right. So then we got the character cards. So here's Leonard's card. Smart and beautiful. 3 victory points. One of the deck. Troll played in phase 3. A friendly model with the name Zach Johnson is removed as a casualty or suffers KO. So I guess it's him and Zach don't get along.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems like it would be fine. Two resource points. If a model with the name Penny is within 4 inches of a model with the name Leonard, then it gains a free new laser special action that is resolved immediately. That's cool, I guess. I think this one's just kind of you holding your deck and you're like, you scored my thing.
Yeah. Just hold it in your hand.
Yeah. Or you know, the resource just gets spaced down or whatever. You want to get the next one, Ian, or I'll just keep powering through?
I got it. You're in my spot. This is Sheldon Cooper's card. It's score 3-1 in the deck. Protection, phase 3, scored instantly. Place an event marker up to 2 inches from a board edge and inside the opponent deployment zone. One of your models with sidekick rank is in contact with that marker. So basically, Sheldon needs to be in contact with that marker. And then you score it. And then it is a 1 resource. You can move immediately any models up to 4 inches away from a friendly model with the name Sheldon Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
So it's useful for clearing out, you know, if people are trying to score by being in particular spots on the board, moving them around, getting them where you want to be, even pushing your own models further forward if you want it.
I mean, you could just move everybody if you wanted to, because it's any models. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're at experimental medications. This is Penny's card, which I want to say she's a henchman in the thing. I think so. Because here she's the card says sidekick, but I'm pretty sure her new card has a henchman.
Yeah, she's a henchman.
But I'm sure that will fit. So 2 points, 1 in the deck. Played in phase 1, it's protection, scored immediately. There are 6 or more suspects in one of your models' line of sight. Seems like it would happen quite easily.
But you have to play it in phase 1.
You do. You just play this card and you're like,
I score.
Hope it happens. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not. It happens immediately. You scored immediately.
Oh.
So you scored in phase 1 if there are 6 suspects in your model's line of sight.
And it's easy to set up because it's friendly and enemy suspects as well. So
I mean, if you have it in phase 1, you play it. If not, play it instantly for the resource, because why does it not? Might as well.
Yeah, the resource is 1 point. A friendly active model gains a venom dose that must use immediately. Which is like, for this crew, all right. I mean, I feel like Zax and maybe Penny are the only 2 people that would actually benefit a lot from that. But like,
yes.
Yeah, but like, why not? And one more card left.
Yep. I was in space. This is Howard's card. 3 victory points, 1 in the deck. It's a menace objective, phase 3, scored instantly. You have 2 models without scientific trait within the opponent's deployment zone. Mm-hmm. It's not too hard to do whenever you have 3 of them that don't die. And then it's 2 resources. If a model with the name Howard is within 4 inches of a friendly suspect, you can play this. You can play immediately a card as a resource without spending its resource points. So
this is where I think you just play another resource, right?
Yeah, so you get to play another resource. So this one really only comes into play whenever you you have it face down, or if you really want to spend 2 resources to get 2 cards out of your hand. That's at least how I see it.
Yeah. But a lot of the other ones are 2 resources, so this is kind of just get rid of this for free.
Basically.
If you want to look at it that way.
It's a good way to shuffle your deck.
Yep. And then I know not everyone uses plot rules, but for the league, we are doing the optional things. So let's quickly go over their plots before we talk about the characters. Costume contests. Play an objective, complete a control objective. At the end of the round, you have more friendly models, at least 3, within 8 inches of the same enemy suspect than enemy models. Not too hard to do. And the benefit for this is once per round, you may change the audacity markers of a friendly model that this is written weird. That not make an activation this round to another friendly model that not make its activation this round. So you can swap audacity markers.
That was bad translation.
It was. Yeah. I'm just going to keep going on this one. Mystic Warlords of Kataz Tournament, whatever, nerdy stuff. This one's for a menace objective. At the end of the round, you and your opponent must sum all of your victory points that give your objective cards in your hands. If you have a higher number, you accomplish this set. So who has the highest number out of your objective hand? Once per round, you and your opponent must discard a card. This is the benefit you get.
It's not terrible. And then Comic Con route, complete an objective, complete a menace objective. At the end of a round, you have one suspect within 8 inches of one board edge, within one, another one within 8 inches of the opposite board edge, and at least one more within 12 inches of the previous two.
So basically, join the dots between the board edges, isn't it?
Once per round, a friendly model during its activation may place for free a suspect mark within 4 inches of itself. God, that was hard to read. I don't know why.
I like this card. I think it's
easy.
Yeah, it's easy, and I like it just because it seems sort of thematic. Like the other two are just kind of things that just kind of happen.
Yeah,
I think. You can get the next one then.
And then the last one, Reunion at the Cheesecake Factory. This one you have to score a violence objective. At the end of the round, you have at least three friendly models within 4 inches of a friendly model that during its activation, you score an objective. Ow, my brain hurt. So basically you need to score an objective with a model that is within, that has three other friendly models within 4 inches of it. Is that correct reading? At the end of the round.
Basically
you score and then the others mob up to you at the end of the, before the end of the round. And as long as they're 4 inches at the end of the round, you'll complete the
okay. Lot. That during its activation, it scored an objective. Okay.
Yep.
That's bad English, but it's probably translated.
It's not.
Once per round, during a friendly model's activation, you may place it within 4 inches of another friendly model. So it's a free teleport.
Yep.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This
card is also incredibly easy to do. But
you just score an objective and then bubble around yourself. I mean, you should be scoring.
How many violence objectives there are in the deck, though? I feel like there wasn't a lot. You got incursion card. And that's it. You have one in the deck.
Really?
Yeah, you have one in the deck.
Unless you take some of the
generics.
Generic violences, which makes sense.
But you might want to do that for that card alone. I don't know. That's all the objective cards. Like, we got the six character cards.
All right. You want to lead us off with?
You definitely lead us off. I don't have it on my phone right now.
All right. So we have Leonard. I'm not going to try to even attempt his last name.
No.
He's the leader. He's 8 willpower, 8 endurance, or 8 endurance, 7 endurance. 3 attack, 3 defense. He has 6+ strength. You know, he's a nerd. He's 8 movement and 3 special. And then he has 1 weapon, which is the fake lantern. It does 2 stun, and it's heavy and handy. So it's basically an axe, but does stun instead. He has Big Bang Theory, New Laser, Pop Dart, Scientific, and True Love Penny. So I'll just go over the Big Bang Theory because that goes over everybody. And this crew has this trait. So when this model would become KO or removed as a casualty, remove all damage from this model. The opponent then places the model complete within 4 inches of its current position. This model is still considered to have suffered the KO effect or become a casualty for the purposes of traits, completing objective cards, and plots. So basically It's like Sad Life, or is it?
Yeah, it's very much like Sad Life.
Yeah. And then the only, let's see, oh yeah, new laser is a new objective.
I'm sorry, it's not Sad Life. It's a Truly Immortal, oh, truly or as the Moonlanders called it, Trolley Immortal.
Yeah, that one. So his other one that's not a normal one, which is new laser. It is a, takes your special action, target a model within 8 inches, roll a strength 2+ die. If successful, the target suffers 2 blood and the scared effect. So he's shining a bright light at you. And then pop dart. If this model does not play any objective cards during its action, at the end of its action, you may look at the top 2 cards of your objective deck. Discard one of your choice and put the other back on top of your deck. It's kind of good if you're not able to score cards.
Okay, and then we've got Sheldon Cooper, who's the psychic for the crew. Special 3, defense. Sorry, attack and defense 3, strength 6+, movement 8, 3 special, willpower 9, and 5 endurance. He has Bazinga. When an enemy model within 8 inches of this model fails 2 or more dice to hit or to block, or fails a test, it suffers enervating 2. It's got the Big Bang Theory rule that you've already been across, and he's got Genius. Target an enemy boss within 8 inches, and make an opposed willpower roll against the boss with your willpower of 9. If successful, you may look at your opponent's hand and take 1 objective card by removing a number of friendly suspects within 8 inches of this model, equal to the number of VP the card is worth. Until the end of the round, you may play this card as a resource with no cost. At the end of the round, or after this card is played, discard it to the bottom of the card owner's objective deck.
Yes, it is, but also, let me go into the main part here. Opposed willpower is just you're rolling their willpower rolls. It doesn't matter what your willpower is. So it doesn't matter your willpower. Yeah. 9, that's not helping you here. Although you do get scientific, so you get the extra dice from the roll.
Yeah.
I think. Yep. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you're right. The willpower is only useful for the stun damage he's taking, but still, willpower 9. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got order, which is standard 1, scientific. He's got the false boss. Well, this model is not the boss. Other friendly models within 8 inches that are not affected by the inspire rule may use a movement or special action during their activation to perform an additional manipulate action. So, getting a couple of manipulates out of turn, potentially.
Yeah, so it's either you're getting...
It's going to be.
Because we don't think it's a team. We think this is legit just a crew.
Yeah.
Who I happen to think you can only hire within the crew, but like whatever. So basically, just you're either within 8 inches of Leonard for Inspire, or you're within 8 inches of Sheldon for the false boss benefits.
It's kind of nice because it kind of gives you 2 bubbles to move around in.
Yeah.
Instead of just the 1, which is a weakness most teams have.
Yeah.
And then finally, Zoom Zoom, you can spend your movement action to place a friendly suspect marker anywhere on the table following the usual rules.
Yeah, just anywhere. Great. All right. Yeah, he's cool.
So
I'm going to talk about Penny now. So we got Penny. She's a henchman. It doesn't really even matter the rep of these people, but she's 63 rep. Willpower 7, 6 endurance, attack 4, defense 4, strength 4, movement 10, special 3. Doesn't have a weapon, but that's fine. She has Amazon's Wig. This model may make an effort to activate this trait, which will remain active until the start of the model's next activation. Enemy models roll 2 fewer attack dice when attacking this model, but this model suffers slow 4. So, that's cool. We already talked about the Big Bang Theory rule. She then also has Charm, so that's fun. Then she has Country Girl. While this model is within 8 inches of or inside its deployment zone, it may perform the manipulation action for free, and its unarmed damage inflicts double stun. Then you got Molecules, special action. Target an enemy model within 4 inches. That model must make a willpower roll. fails, it suffers the hypnotize effect. And then you have True Love, Leonard. Which also, can True Love trigger multiple times because Leonard could theoretically die multiple times?
No, because it's just, it's if this model is removed as a casualty, it gains plus one willpower, plus one attack. At least that's how I read it.
I think so too, but I'm just like, weird thought. What if you kill Leonard? It's like, oh, this has happened. I gain the benefit. And he brings back Annie. Then you happen to kill him again, and then I gain the benefit again?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think you'll ever want to kill Leonard, ever.
Oh, I don't think anyone's, yeah.
I don't think you really try to kill any of these people, especially not her. You don't even try. With Charm and Amazon's wig, no.
Yeah.
Ever.
I mean, you could just
Gunner.
Oh, no, it's just two fear. It doesn't matter the range. Yeah. You just don't try. You just let them do their thing. You stay away. I don't know. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They're annoying crew. But they hopefully won't kill you.
That's true. So we'll go on to the next henchman, which is Howard. He is 7 willpower, 5 endurance. He is a whopping 2 attacks, 3 defense, strength 6 plus, 8 movement, and 3 special. And then for his specials, we are... Special abilities, we have Big Bang Theory, Engineer, which is while attacking or defending against this model, enemy models with one or more pieces of equipment suffer -1 to its attack and defense for the duration of the attack. It's kind of a cool ability. And then the next one is Fruit Loops. While this model is within 4 inches of a friendly Raj model, when it performs efforts, it may ignore up to 1 stun caused by the efforts. If this model is not within 8 inches of a friendly Raj model at the start of its activation, it suffers Invigorating 1. Then he has Handyman and then Magic Tricks. Once per round, when an enemy model places a suspect within 8 inches of this model, you may place a friendly suspect in contact with that model following the usual rules.
Yep.
You should always,
that's a cool
you should
rule.
Always have 8 suspects in play with this crew. Always. it's ridiculous.
So it is all about the suspect markers and getting them down. And next up we have Aquaman or Rajesh Kuthrapali. A massive attack and defense 3. Willpower 7, endurance 6. Again, strength 6 plus. This time only movement 6 because of the seahorse that he's riding, I imagine, and special 3. His special rule, he's got Big Bang Theory. He has Cinnamon. Choose a friendly suspect within 4 inches. That suspect becomes a Cinnamon marker. And for those of you that don't watch the show, Cinnamon is his little dog. It is still a suspect marker. Until the end of the round, if an enemy model reveals or removes the Cinnamon marker and there's at least one friendly model within 4 inches of the marker, you may look at your opponent's hand and discard one of their cards.
I actually thought it was just like he poured Cinnamon on the marker and I'm like, oh, does everyone in Gotham just have like a Cinnamon allergy? but the dog makes more sense.
Again, it's one of those, if you can get a little annoying yappy dog model for your marker, perfect. Mm-hmm. Go with your killer robot. He has a rich family, so during this model's activation, you may play one resource without paying the cost. I actually think that's pretty good. Scientific, then through the stars. When this model places a suspect, you may move up to 4 inches and enemy model directly towards that marker. So that's really badly worded, but basically place a suspect, move an enemy 4 inches towards the marker in a straight line. I'm really hoping these cards do go through another translation before they actually get released into the box.
The enemy or the enemy to the marker? I think the enemy to the marker.
The enemy to the marker from the way I read that. And then last rule is Weird True Love. At the end of any action that inflicts damage to a friendly Howard model within 8 inches, this model may move up to 4 inches towards a friendly Howard model, then remove 1 damage from that model.
Which I'm going to say, I would love this role. They slightly changed the wording. If it was Weird True Love with Batman and Joker, instead of just friendly, just a Batman model. Be pretty cool. But yeah, that's him. He's a 50-point henchman, and I think you have to take the whole crew, so like, why not? And I'm thankful I got the two easy names. Got Zach Johnson here. He's a free agent. He is 53 rap. Why do I feel like this is the old card?
No, I think that's right.
Is it? No, it's okay. All right, well, he's willpower 6, endurance 9, attack 4, defense 3, strength 3, movement 10, 3 special. His rules are the Big Bang Theory, obviously. Big guy. When this model suffers damage, reduce the damage suffered by 2. 2 minimum of a 1. So you're always going to hurt a little bit. Blow up the moon. I feel like that's a reference to, like, I don't know, something in the show. If a friendly Leonard model uses the new laser trait, within 8 inches of this model, you may immediately move this model up to 6 inches in any direction. Then you got Dolphins or Zach. This model may only perform manipulation actions while it is within 8 inches of a friendly Sheldon model. Then you got Reinforced Gloves. This model is unarmed. We already know the Reinforced Gloves. And you got Unstoppable. So for a reminder, that's just special action. Each successful hit scored by this model's round requires 2 successful defense rolls to block.
Yeah. He's your beater.
I mean, like, yeah, he is your beater, I guess. Like, an interesting beater. And Penny also is going to do a good job, but she's a little more dependent on location. Because it doesn't have True Govs has Country Girl. And that's the Big Bang Theory. What do you guys think? I haven't played it on the table yet, which I was going to, and then I was like, nah.
If you've not seen the show, a lot of the rules, like you said, blow up the moon, dolphins or Zach, cinnamon, things like that, don't mean anything to you. I think if you take away the Big Bang Theory sort of IP and took them as a crew, they're a very, very weird crew, because obviously you've got the whole thing where they can't be removed from the table. They're not really going to remove you from the table because they don't have a lot of offensive damage and offensive capabilities, apart from like Zach and the odd things like shooting off one of your suspects as a resource and things like that. So it becomes very much more around a sort of suspect marker game. So it's going to be weird depending on the matchups that you get, how they actually play. It's just they're going to, whenever you play Big Bang Theory, it's not going to feel like a normal game of Batman. It's a completely sort of different beast. I almost wish they had released this box, because I have to say the models are all generally quite a good likeness of the characters from the show, but release them as a DC box and just give them the same rules as the normal Justice League and just do them as like a joke crew that way without having to do the whole objective and plot deck. Weird Minches do something for Malifaux every year where they do what they call a nightmare crew, which is something like it's an existing crew in the game, existing rules, but they just put out a new aesthetic. So like this year, the game is a steampunk game, but they've done a whole cyberpunk crew for it. And I think this would have been suited far better to being a sort of alternate sculpt for the DC game. And it would have like injected a bit of interest in the DC game at a time when they're starting to release their Lantern crews as well. I think it's interesting. It's a miss for me purely because I'm just never going to play it, and I don't think I'll ever see it on the table. I think what people have said about, you know, bringing other gaming communities into the game is a really good positive, and it's just not for me. But I can see why it's good, and I can see why people would enjoy playing it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the rules are interesting, though. But definitely, just kind of salt on the wound for those who actually are still waiting for their deck and whatnot. But, like, you know, I supposedly had to do this. And, I mean, you either just go the route of, hey, we made sculpts, you can get it for a collector, like the game, and here's just random DC rules for them, for the fitting characters. Or, and, like, purely looking at just the rules, not the IP or anything, have some interesting roles, and I kind of want to see them on the table.
Agree.
Probably the digital table. I'm not going to pay money for these guys.
Yeah. No. I mean, they did still come out before Tim Drake as well, so, you know.
We don't have to mention that, Darren.
No, I felt I needed to mention that just once.
TV forever. It's never going to happen. I want Tim Drake, guys.
So that's the Big Bang. Jason, you want to talk a little bit about the TTS League?
Two models that are just awesome.
Right, I'm going to cut that bit out because I completely forgot about them. So you go ahead.
Alrighty, let me find them up real quick and we can continue this up.
Yeah, I don't have them up at all.
Okay, I got them up. Then I'll talk about these guys and I'll put some enthusiasm into it. And Darren, I think you should leave that part in there. And I'll be like, look at Darren, forgetting about my boy, Calendar Man. All right. Calendar Man. He doesn't have an expression like Kite Man, but hell yeah, it was Halloween. All right. So we got Calendar Man. He is a henchman. He's 36 rep. He hates the Batman and he can go with anybody. Any time of the year, because he's Calendar Man. He's 6 willpower, 6 endurance, attack 3, defense 3, strength 5, movement 10, special 3. And then he has a taser, because tasers, you know tasers, mechanical, reach, CRT stun, double stun. But you're not taking him for that, you're taking him for his rules. The man brings you distract. He is runaway, so you're not going to arrest him. He's scheming 1. He's a strategist, so that's a big one. He's a trickster. And then the big one, seasonal crimes, which I was a little sad they didn't put the old Calendar Man rule where it's like on the month you play him, he gets some trait. But for the better of the game, this is a better trait to have, and he's all year round good to take. At the end of every round, check the total victory points scored by all players. For every full 12 points scored, Calendar Man gains one of the following benefits. Advancing 1 step on the list for each 12 victory points scored. So the first one, you get +4 movement. And the next step, you get +2 attack. The next step, you get +2 defense. And the last step, you get handyman. And then if you move another step, you go back to +4 movement. And then the attack and defense. And it's just a circle. It just keeps going on. And then it just gives an example of what exactly they mean by that. So, you know. It's a pretty good wall effects, I feel like. Like, half of it's just an example, which I like to see in Knight's rules.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice because it's like if you both scored a total of 20-something points, you move 1. And then the next turn, if you're up to 24 points between you and your opponent, you'll move up 2.
I think you meant to say 12. So, like, if both players move – is there a cap that you can only move 1 step each round?
No, you move.
No, yeah. So, like, if Ian, you scored 6 points, I scored 6 points, that's 12 victory points. I move
right
at 1.
And then if you're up to 20.
But, like, if we both had a good turn, I think it's very possible that you're going to just move straight to step 2 very soon. With you now.
Yeah. And then, like, it's your total points, though. Mm-hmm. So it's not, like, only the points scored this turn. It's your total points.
Yeah.
So that's it gets rid of bookkeeping, but it means that the later turns, it's like, oh, we're total of like 70 points scored right now. What is Calendar Man going to get?
Yeah, to just basically divide by 12. That's the calculation there. And then it's objective card, because of course the man brings an objective card. It's 2 victory points, 1 on the deck. Control, you play at the start of the round, score at the end of the round. Place a numeratic counter with a value of 1 on top of this card. Each time an enemy model places or reveals a suspect, reduce the value of the numeric counter by -1. Each time you place a suspect, increase the value of the counter by +1. And you score the card if the counter just is still there at the end of the round. So, like, that's really good. I think I'm going to see Calendar Man in a lot of lists for 36 points. And then his resources, when a friendly Calendar Man model reveals an enemy suspect, place a friendly suspect within 12 inches, if possible. That's just one point. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I like
definitely what my next purchase. I'm gonna purchase him. He's gonna be in a lot of my list. Riddler is a list I look at him, but really anything. And I also think he has a good spot in the league.
He has a good spot in my like Joker list I'm running.
That too. All right. So the next up is Condiment King. How could you forget Condiment King, Darren? The hell. He has the mustard and the ketchup. So going straight to the character card. Everyone's favorite Condiment King. Once it loads up. All right. So he is a henchman. 35 rep. 200 funding. He hates Batman. It's cool with everybody else. Willpower 5. Endurance 5. Attack 3. Defense 3. Strength 5. Movement 10. Special 3. So then he has the ketchup gun, which is a single blood, two rate of fire, two ammo, S range, beam, assault, slow 4. So ketchup slows you down. Mustard, same thing except for it's assault and poison, or same thing except for it's poison instead of slow 4.
Yep.
Yep. I don't know why I thought one of these was a template. So then we got his rules. Athletic shock, that's. I did not pronounce that right. Shock. When this model deals any damage to enemy models, the target suffers an enervating X effect, where X is the number of objective cards played from the opponent's hand this round, up to 3. So, if your opponent's having a good day, you just put one of the enervating 3 on one of your models. Bam. Current model is a gunman, so you can just shoot your catchman mustard gun more often, which is nice for him, because I mean, he doesn't have the best stats. He's going to die quite soon, so I'd like to use his ammo. And then, underestimated. This model cannot be used by the opponent to score any card. Which is pretty cool. I still want to go into, like, all the cards and, like, from my understanding, it's like, if you reveal a suspect marker and the opponent has a card that's, like, if suspect marker is revealed, triggers, would that trigger? Because it's Condiment King's revealing it.
Yeah.
It's like that stuff I'm a little in the iffy zone, but if it's stuff just like KO a model, deal damage to a model, have a model kill you, stuff like that, I feel like that's more just clearly Condiment King. Yeah, I'm underestimated.
Yep. I like him because I think with Gunman and Anaphylactic Shock, you can basically set up for your big melee beaters to come in on two models and just be like, oh, that model moved, right? You have Invigorating 3. You have Invigorating 3. All right. Good job. Now my big beater is going to come up and punch you in the face. That's the... Yeah.
And he's a henchman. And then he also brings a 3-point card, which I think is sort of easy to score. It's not the easiest, but easy enough. Sauce and Pickles. So the threat, played in phase 3, scored at the end of the round. Reveal an enemy suspect. That suspect must have at least 2 enemy models within 4 inches, each with at least 2 different effects. So, I mean, he could do this by himself, just poison, slow 4, poison, slow 4. But, like, you're going to put him in a crew, I think, that's already going to deal some sort of effects just to help him out. It's like Scarecrow or Joker gas, you know. And then his resources, 1 point, play this resource before perform an attack. Your friendly Condiment King model gains +1 to hit. If successful, the target model suffers the scared and push 4 effects. And scared's a great trait, so you're just like,
you're invigorating 3, I like. You're poisoned, you're scared, and I just pushed you. And perfect spot for me to kill you. Yep.
I like it. For 35 rounds.
I love him and the Heath Ledger Joker, because then I can shoot his gun all 3 of them, all 3 turns.
Mm-hmm.
Or until he's dead.
Yeah. Which is probably going to happen. I can't see this guy living long, but you never know. Some crews like Riddler just don't put out a lot of damage. I remember, was it me and Chris were talking, well, mostly Chris, but you can run Riddler, all of the named characters in Clayface in a list, and that just seems fun. This is a gimmick. I don't know if it's that perfect, but I mean, you know, Conor McKinnon, Calendar Man, Kite Man, Killer Moth. I think you got one of the free agent ones in there too. But I dig it. I think these two really were a good month.
Well, of course, you have Calendar.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right.
Let's go with us.
Yeah, I think Condiment King was the highlight for me on that one. It's just, I hate the thought of trying to put that model into a case.
So,
yeah, so I think you're going to magnetize the foot to it, or you just
don't use it. I mean, then you can just use the table as a area terrain that you just throw on the table somewhere.
Yeah. Or I don't know. I think you could do some things if you're worried about that, or, you know, my case needs improvement anyway, so.
I mean, they're absolutely knocking it out of the park with these sorts of minor Batman characters that weren't really well known until, say, the Harley Quinn cartoon. They've absolutely smashed it. I mean, my favorite's Gentleman Ghost purely for the sculpt, but I can see why some people were like, well, I want Mr. Freeze, I want Penguin, and we all want to see the decks for those crews, and we want those crews to be brought up to date. But I think these add some real flavor and show just how diverse Batman has been over the years. So I'm loving this sort of release.
I don't think these two guys or any of their, I don't remember what like their the online only, was it like the Gotham Knights, whatever it's called. I don't think that's preventing them from doing any crews. I mean, they've teased Two-Face. They did Riddler, although they've not actually released the deck for Riddler. They just put in the Dropbox and they haven't released any new models for him. So who knows if that's going to get workshopped a little longer. But I would love another deck in the Dropbox. That's where I'm at. But that's all the new releases. And then we mentioned Two-Face. The only thing we've seen is just the two henchmen, which they're just in gangster clothing. You know, they got the trench coats on, and they're pretty great. I love the models. I'm looking forward to their stuff. And then we also were teased with one of the cards on the Discord that makes it seem like it's all just a Two-Face affiliation. And I guess you can have like side cards or something that are kind of like your heads and tails. So I'm really looking forward to what they have to bring, because that's exactly what I want. I want another unique deck that brings flavor to the game. And I like the gritty henchmen and with your boss.
I just hope that means they're going to do something with Penguin as well. Like, Penguin and Two-Face back into the game. I want it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Two-Face is my third crew after League and Batman. So I'm so looking forward to seeing him again.
So with all that, I only got more to say about the new releases. It's like, let's go into the quick TTS ramble here. What's been up with the League? The Bat-tober League, which is almost concluded. We have one person still needs a few more games, and then we got the finals, which is looking pretty good that it's Ian and Richard in the finals.
We shall see.
So, like, that's going to be an epic showdown. I mean, it's going to be that. Like, you never know. You never know. Ian could just lose a computer tomorrow. I don't know.
Just throw in the towel.
Yeah, it could happen. Yeah. And then I'll definitely have to challenge Richard again, because I'm not just going to give, or no, then I'd make Chris play him. No, he can't just win. You throw in a towel. But so the main difference is, which we talked about this last time, was it came down to I made brackets. Everyone played it freely on whenever it worked best for their schedule. I think that helped a lot for most players. And it was paired first off time zone. So there was 8 people in the United States, and there's 4 that are elsewhere. Ian's in that bracket. So that one was just made because there's only 4 people. And then the other two I just randomly rolled off. You know, filled it out. So that's been really good. There's been a decent variety in list. I'm trying to think what all we have. There's only one generic deck, though, because people are just like, it's trash.
Yeah.
Although that guy did pretty well. I mean, for a generic that crew, like he's putting in the work, and I know you played against him, Ian. Like, yeah, you could definitely share.
He deserved to win that game. If he didn't play the generic deck, he would have won that game. But I mean, that's that's the sad part about it.
Yeah,
that is
the sad part. And he was playing court, for everyone who was curious. That's the one generic deck crew we have. We want to say we have one Batman who lasts players, one Joker, one Riddler, a few Banes, two League, one Batman, two Teen Titans.
Is it two? I don't know.
I think we have two. Yeah, we have two. And then that's the pairing for everybody. But I think there's three soldiers. I think so. There's a soldiers in every bracket.
No,
it's one bracket doesn't have soldiers. One bracket has two soldiers, and the other one has one soldier.
Yeah, I was actually surprised on that one.
It's like, that's cool.
But there was so many Soldiers of Fortune. But then again...
I mean, I'm not. I feel like they were like the most... Besides Riddler, which was like as... I love the Riddler cards, but like there wasn't really a real Riddler release. And this came before Big Bang Theory, because we all know Big Bang Theory would have been the most played.
Yes, through. We all asked and see if we could switch our lists.
Yeah, actually, so Toby did. I mean, he was joking, but like, yeah, someone did. So this was also before Calendar Man and Condiment King had their rules. I had to pull the plug at some point. Couldn't wait for night forever. The lists were cool though. I dig it. I do notice. You have some people who play games that they're each like neck and neck at 40 points, and you have other people that it's like you're barely scoring, and then the other person's just rocking it up there. It's just, I don't know. You get the two brackets where it's just like you're neck and neck, and you're either like 9 points, 9 points versus 40 points at 40 points. And I feel like some of those people just, some of them don't, you know, like the cards, it's still a new mechanic to them. But it's also just this game, you know? Like, I feel like the points are very much just matchup dependent.
I think there's a lot of crews that do very good at mitigating people from scoring. And then there's other crews that are very good at just scoring their own deck and don't really have any way to stop the opponent from scoring theirs. And I...
So then the opponent just has to score their own deck.
Right, and that's kind of what I ran into, like, with our pre-game that we played with Riddler and Joker, like I need the opponent to score my cards, some of them. And whenever you don't interact with my suspects at all, it's like, well, I guess I gotta more interact with you, which just plays into your pool. So then that's just, it just kind of escalates that way. Riddler is one of those that I see is like, he's going to score his cards. You just need to score yours and try your best to mitigate. I don't know. That's just the way I'm seeing this kind of online meta or game meta, is knowing the people that are going to win are the people that know your deck and the opponent's deck and how their path to victory is.
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up. I'm just, you know, it does make me curious stuff for the next, like, I might try a more, instead of just going off of win-loss, if it's more of a difference in points instead of just total points. Because there are some people that, like, it's a neck-and-neck game and they get 15 points and they're doing everything they can. Versus some people are just like, we got 40 points. You got 40 points. Great job.
Yeah, which tie is better, because... the 40-40 or the 15-15? Like,
That I'm not sure, because some decks even just like they can't even score 40 for the most part. Like, let's be realistic here. I mean, I think every deck could theoretically score 40, but like a generic deck and Joker, you basically have to score everything you can. While Riddler, you might be getting close and like half your deck still left. It also depends how many characters you're bringing in or teams or whatnot. But I might rethink that a little bit. Because I do want the best play experience possible for my players. Might focus less on the total victor and on the wins and the points, and more on just like who's barely getting wins here, or the difference of it.
And I do like your, because it also influences people to try to get those total victories that way too, a little bit more than just trying to get the victory. And the fact that a total victory doesn't screw over your opponent, which is, I think, what a lot of people.
Yeah, I was not.
I think what a lot of people don't like with the old bat match.
Yeah, that sucked. I mean, honestly, total victory doesn't really mean much here. It's basically just like, I got a total victory. I won't go
right. To tiebreaker. Also, yeah, it doesn't.
Which also, if you get a total victory, you're most likely just to win the first few tiebreakers. So. Yeah. Because you're going to score more victory points. But yeah. That's enough to relook. I am really still looking forward to just some people need to play the game more often, I think. This is your one game. I've played against Robin a few times. And there's just some card rules that, like, basic stuff that you might not notice on TTS. Like, Rob thought once you played a resource, it just never got back in your deck. That's a little hard to call out when you're on a digital table because I'm not really looking at his deck and you don't necessarily have to tell me everything you're doing. And at some point, I'm just like, wait, what are you doing?
Yeah, discard goes to the bottom of your deck. You put all your spent resources and shuffle them into your deck at the end of the turn.
Yeah. And it's also just you see people that don't think about their deck and they don't take the generic deck because it's just like it's bad. And then those people have a problem because some decks you can just be fine with your whole thing. But you kind of need those basic, you can shuffle cards out here. You need to know what cards you can score, what cards you can't score out of your deck. And you can just,
yeah,
you know, tailor.
This is why I think actually the Joker deck and the Batman deck that came in the starter are actually really good. Because they forced you to take part of the generic deck with it and taught you that. Because yeah. I think that is manipulating your 20-card deck that or however many card deck you have with the generic deck and kind of base planning 20. That with your crew is very important on how you're planning out how you're going to score and win the game. Because every crew should have a different deck. You shouldn't have... the same deck with two Riddler lists. They should be slightly different based on what you have in there. At least that's kind of my opinion. Well, yeah, Riddler is probably a bad example, but yeah. Like League and some of those other or Birds, like their decks. If you're playing an Ivy list and you're playing the standard Birds, your list should be very different. Your cards in your deck should be very different.
Yeah. So just little stuff like that, like the pregame, but this is not necessarily on the table while in second edition it was. Things like that need to get changed up. Or not changed up, but got to get thinked about a little more. It's like, truthfully, I feel like as long as your list has a few of like, oh, you have a bodyguard.
I'm going to refuse to still take a bodyguard. I'm just going to take more damage because I think Psycho Pirate is the best bodyguard in the game. With his free activation, just going and being like, minus one to attacks. You're not going to come into that bubble and attack my leader whenever you're minus one to hit me. So you're hitting Joker on fives now? Good luck.
No. He's got to activate them, but as long as your list hits like a few of the basic check marks, I think you're good to take almost anything you like. I mean, there's good and bad, but I think instead of second edition where it's like, well, you got to take this like top table, like your list were very much just written for you, I think this is more just build something that works with your deck, be aware of your other opponent's deck. Because like, I mean, someone could look at your listing and be like, would not take. And they might be right, but like,
I scored most of my cards in the last two games.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I still don't know how.
I don't know either. Like, I kind of thought Batman
who last. He did beat me. I had King and Joker left. Oh, yeah. That was it. And Joker had Joker actually revealed a, for the, what was that card? The steel card? No. The Catwoman card. The loot. So Joker was carrying the loot.
Okay.
It was amazing.
So, I mean, I guess we're going, I got nothing really to say about the formatting of the league or anything. I'm really happy how things are going. Just in the future, I might do difference, just the difference of points instead of necessarily your total points. Is there, and if for anyone who's curious about lists and whatnot, there's a decent chance I'll just write a Google Doc and put it out there. But it is all on the Discord under the Mattober list. If you just want to look what people brought, which I was not participating in this event. I'm just TOing.
Yeah.
So you don't get to hear about my awesome list of how I'm going to break the game.
You cheater.
I know. You guys are just like, I'm just trying to get that close, you know? I'm not going to break the line, but I'll push it. But Ian.
Yes. I'm still trying to break the game with Mambat.
Man, that's going to win Renegade 2021 or 2022, whenever it happens. Anyway, yeah, hopefully. Ian, do you have any takeaways in your game? So we already mentioned you played Rob with his league.
That one was played, just...
I'm partying on his name.
So yeah, I can go over quickly. So Rob, that one basically came down to he, because we played, what is it, the split sides or whatever, where you have the line down the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was just bad for him just because it kind of made his crew come into me in waves. I don't have a lot of damage in my Joker bomb list, which basically is Joker, Red Hood Joker, Clock King, and Psycho Pirate. And my thought process was Psycho Pirate doing plus one damage, so my bombs do two blood whenever I blow them up. And Clock King has a lot of cool synergies with Joker, with the manipulate and changing the dice mechanic on things and moving suspects. Yeah. So it actually worked out pretty well, but I definitely need to bring it back to the drawing board for what I'm going to use it for. But otherwise, I mean, that kind of came down to him messing up with his objective deck that I didn't even catch because I really wasn't paying attention to it. And him just kind of feeding me his crew until the third turn when he just finally got everything over there. But by then, I was so far in the lead, it didn't matter.
Yeah, because you had like 43 or something points that game. And he had maybe 17. Because I was streaming that game. Yeah. It really wasn't much.
The second
to say about
game
it.
Versus Court.
Oh, he killed Redhead Joker. That hurt a lot. Yeah, that's an important thing. He just got Damien in there. It's like, well, bam.
And then I took out Damien and Ubu. Did I take out Ubu? I think I took out Ubu.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
You Damien knocked out Damien forever, though.
And then what was the other one? So versus Court, I flailed ineffectively against... I always forget his name. Lincoln. Flailed ineffectively against Lincoln. Tried to blow him up. Didn't really help at all. And yeah, he just came in at me and started killing me. And then I ran away. That's all that really happened. I ran away and scored points because I just stopped him from scoring because his point stuff that he could score is only like one or twos. And I think he moved Strix away too quickly. And that costed him taking out some of my people that scored later on.
So I think he backed Strix up.
Her into my deployment zone to score those objectives, placing like suspects back there. Which is, I mean, it's a smart play, but I feel like he should have killed a model or two first with her. So she just kind of scored points for him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with a generic deck, it really comes down to you have to stop the opponent. And you don't have your deck physically isn't going to stop much. Yeah. It just comes down to your actual crew.
But I mean, he was spreading out so much, it was hard to even do anything with my crew. I should have played the other list. It would probably have been a better game. But I mean, I think that was my total victory. But that's only because the generic deck itself does not help Owls out at all. And then this final game. The wave of undeath came at me. Batman Who Laughs. Joker got into a corner of the Ace Chemicals and hid like a little pansy he is with surrounding himself with his henchmen. So Batman Who Laughs could not land anywhere near me. And then eventually all the henchmen died and I ran away. That's that whole game. He scored the data extraction twice, and then we tied it for the rest of the game because it went in base contact with the sewer, and I was able to get next to it. That's really that whole game happened. I just kept scoring cards with teeth and revealing his objectives for my own so long it's been a gas. I think I scored everything but my medical crate and the doing 6 damage in a melee attack and then one other card.
Yeah, which those two cards basically just take up resource anyway. Like no one's.
I mean, I'll
no
score it if I have it in my hand and I do it.
For sure. But I mean, really, it just sounds like Batman's an objective game with its deck, and I mean, that's not like your crew is still important in the traits it has, but, like in a game, unless you're running like some smoke list or whatever. Like, it's just I ran away and scored my deck. Yeah. That's the passive play style. That Riddler and Joker.
I will say, Joker's thing that he plays at the beginning of the game. This happened every game I've played with him now, so it's not going to happen now in the finals. If I play this list, so Joker's card is he pulls all the suspects within 18 inches towards him and puts them in base with him. You play that card when your opponent only has 3 suspects, and then you play Clock King's card. That says the opponent chooses 3 suspects, and if those suspects are not in play or have one of your friendly suspects within 4 inches of it, you score the card at the end of the turn. So it's almost an auto score for those 6 points. And I mean, they're literally just sitting there until the end of the turn, basically. So they're a free 6 points, like, and I always seem to get that at like the second or third turn. And that was secret tech of
that. Yeah, even happened.
It's happened every game now. I don't understand how it happens, but I mean, I go through the deck so quickly the first turn that it makes sense that I can probably have most of the cards in my hand by then.
Yeah, and like you're not even. Like, if you really wanted to, you could just literally discard your first 4 cards and drop. It's not any of those 2. If you really want to make sure it could happen. What the, yeah. Good stuff. Darren, have you, you're going into lockdown, I know, but have you actually gotten a chance to play any Batman? I vaguely recall you guys telling us about a list you were putting together.
I've still got a couple of lists that I'm putting together. I did send you the cop horde list, which is basically every cop that's in the game at the moment, apart from Montoya, led by Gordon and backed up by Oracle. I was just getting it built because I've not had a chance to play on TTS because I'm still not online at the moment with my computer because I'm having to work from home. So I've got a works computer set up, preventing me from gaming. Goddamn real life.
Just like find this silly corner you can set up here. Your gaming computer.
The gaming stuff for me is still very much theoretical. I think I've got about a dozen theoretical lists. That one was my latest one, but I've been running through various iterations with League and Teen Titans as well. It's just going to be a case of getting it on the table. I mean, obviously, I pick up from you guys talking about what's been happening with TTS. Do you think that not being able to play actual tournaments has sort of slowed down the development of people understanding how third edition works?
But also just people aren't playing as much with their friends or traveling to go play. So I'm like, people are just getting less games, which... That's why some people might not be clicking.
And I think TTS in itself, like, it's severely limits the ability to, well, the communication and the ability to play this game quickly. Because, like, it's in a time investment to play this game specifically on TTS, just because of the amount of cards, the amount of place things and things like that. Things you could do in like less than a second if you're playing across the across the way with an opponent. But since I'm having to draw a dice up, roll the dice, go over, draw, play a card, draw a new card, shuffle my deck, play a card, shuffle. Like, it's just doing all these things constantly with your deck. It does. I feel like it slows the game down to a point that, I mean, I think I've gotten it down to less than 3 hours on TTS, which is.
Yeah. I mean, I've had games vary in time. I think some of my faster games have been like with Chris or Richard, where that's like, I probably played a VR game before.
I've done that with some of the other games. I've played some other games on there that usually run about an hour and a half to 2 hours, and I can get TTS done in that same amount of time. I think the nuance of the deck really slows this game down compared to others. At least that's my opinion of it.
Yeah, I agree. And then I've mentioned it before, but it's also just you're sitting at home. You're not necessarily being pressured by the external tournament. And you really are actually just taking extra time to be like processing hard. How do I score? What's going on with you? And then just like there's a little bit of that communication problem. Because like if I'm playing on someone, I see him looking at a card, I can mention that. Yeah. I can, you know, be like, hey, what's up? Like, yeah, a question about the card. Versus on TTS, you're just kind of twiddling your thumb. Like, of course, it's all good, but you know, you're just like, I don't know what's going on. For all I know, he's getting dinner. Like, beats me. Or then you have crashing and then just connection problems. Yeah. Like, I couldn't hear you correctly. You know, stuff like that. And you generally are zoomed in a lot more. So you're just taking a longer time to be like, wait, actually, need to pan and look at the table versus. In real life, you kind of can just do that while everything else is going on. But like, hey, that's the best we got. And I'm like, the more updates, more little things have changed to TTS, which hasn't been a lot recently, but it does help speed up time. Like I don't know why I didn't think about this sooner, but he was like, why don't we put the sewers on the HUD thing so we can get the radiuses around the sewers and the lamppost? So that's going to help cut down measurement time. And then, like, we found some bags that just, like, you can spawn dice and they'll roll it for you and they'll, like, read the rolls and they'll also put it in the chat. So stuff like that, it helps. You just push a button.
Makes sense.
But yeah, it's exciting stuff. And if you haven't played TTS, I do recommend give it a try. Make sure. Yeah. Fun time. I think it's really all we got to say, though. I look forward to the new releases of Knight and I look forward to getting some more games in because I've... All this Bat-tober stuff, I've not gotten a game in since Ian. And even that game wasn't fully complete. It was like we added what, turn two? Yeah, and I had like 30 something points. Three.
Yeah, you were winning that game.
Yeah. You might have come like that. Go on, Jared.
Okay, so No, I was just going to say, I think we've pretty much covered everything we wanted to cover off, haven't we?
It was a good time.
Okay, so hopefully next time we'll be able to talk to you maybe about the Two-Face deck, if we've seen that. Let us know if there's anything that you want us to cover. Like we say, we're starting to find where the decks and the customization comes in through these TTS games, giving us a bit more experience. So what are your thoughts? You know, what successes have you had? What would you like to see? Also, what are your thoughts on the Big Bang Crew itself ignoring the IP? How do you think it's going to play on the table? But Jason or Ian, do you guys have any final thoughts?
I'm just agreed. Who knows? Maybe we'll get him Drake. Oh,
it's going to be another Suicide Squad based on the new movie.
You know that I just email Knight every single month and just ask them to put it back, don't you?
Yeah. Better be super perfect. You better be like the most overpowered model and be like, only Jason Thompson can play this model. There better be an alternate sculpt that's like, it's just me in a Robin outfit. be perfect. Yes, I'll take a 60 mil Tim Drake.
Or at least get him on a 60 mil base. And on that bombshell, I think that's the end. So it's a goodbye from me. And thank you guys for listening to. Thanks, guys, for listening. This was the Arkham.